Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Now, do you think it's by accident that he's burning incense in the temple that represent prayers, and Gabriel says, your prayers are heard? Zacharias might say, well, which ones have been heard? But he's going to tell him, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. This is John the Baptist. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth.
Much of what we know about the angels comes from the announcements that they made before and during the time of Christ's birth. Today on Practical Christian Living, we bring you what we learn from Christmas angels, and we pray that you and your family are having a blessed Christmas. Please stay with us for this special Christmas study.
We're going to celebrate the birth of our Messiah by looking at the announcement angels. And we want to look today at what they have to say, what we can learn from the angels. They know a lot more than we know, so we want to see what we can learn from them. All right, so pray with me. Let's ask God to bless this Bible study. Father, thank you so much for your word, the richness that we find here. Thank you that we can come into this place today, lift you up and praise your name. And Lord, I also want to thank you for those that are watching us live online. We pray that you would bless them as well, that they would be connected here. And we thank you for this in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Angels are present all of the way through the scriptures. In fact, they're not just present, they are everywhere in the story of God reaching down to us with love to call us to himself. We find them all throughout the Old Testament. We find them in the New Testament. And the Bible even says this at the end of Hebrews chapter 1, which is a great verse. It says that they, meaning angels, are all ministering spirits sent to minister to those that have salvation. If you are one that is called by God as the light of the world, as the salt of the earth, because you've been saved and you've been called by him, angels are around you to help you. I don't believe that we see it a lot because we would get obsessed with it, that we would be obsessed with angels. But when it comes to the account of Christ's birth, what really his life, we find angels everywhere. We find them in the announcement of his birth. We find them in the beginning of his ministry when he's tempted for, he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights and he's tempted by the enemy. And then the Bible says angels came and ministered to him. And then at the end of his ministry in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he is so broken there, when the prayer is done, the Bible says angels came and ministered to him. The word minister means serve. They came and they strengthened him. They served him. I wonder if you have ever been strengthened or served by angels. I wonder if God has ever just wanted to come alongside of you and encourage you and comfort you. And behind the scenes, there was the flapping of angel wings. I'm not even sure they have wings. Some of them have wings, but you understand what I'm saying, right? And we see it all the way through the ministry of Jesus, and we see it here in the opening. And I want to look at three announcements. The announcement to Zacharias that John the Baptist is going to be born, who's connected to Jesus, the announcement to Mary that Jesus is going to be born, and then the announcement to the shepherds. And I just want to ask, what can we learn? These angels know more than we know. What can we learn from what they said in these announcements? So we pick it up in Luke chapter 1, and you can be in Luke chapters 1 and 2 if you want to open up your Bibles there. That's where we'll be today. In Luke chapter 1, with the announcement of Zechariah, to Zechariah. Zechariah is a priest. And he's an older priest. He's been a priest for a long time. And there were so many priests in Jerusalem that in order to work in the temple, there were certain jobs that had to be done inside of the temple itself. They had to go in and take care of the candelabra daily. They had to switch out the showbread daily. They had to go in and burn incense daily. Now, the incense in the Bible is a type of prayer. When they would burn incense in the temple, and we learn in the book of Revelation that our prayers are like incense in heaven. Our prayers are never wasted. They aren't prayed once and then go away. Like incense stays in the air and fills the air, heaven is filled with our prayers. And the Bible says that God answers our prayers. And if we ask anything according to the name of Jesus, he will do them. And so this is all surrounded this prayer time. And he's going into the temple. He's drawn lots. You have to draw lots in order to do anything. So because there's so many priests, he drew lots and he got that he'd go in and burn incense on the day of prayer. So he goes into the temple. There's people waiting outside praying, waiting for him to go in, burn the incense and come out. And they're praying while this is a symbol of prayer. The whole thing's about prayer. And this is what happens. Verse 11 of Luke chapter 1. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Now, Zacharias is old. And when I read this account, that I just see Gabriel maybe saying to another angel, check this out. I'm going to give this guy a scare. Because he just goes and stands next to the altar of incense, which if you walked into the holy place, you have the candelabra, you've got the table of showbread, and you've got the incense altar right in front of the curtain that behind it is the Ark of the Covenant. And the angels just stand. No one's supposed to be in there. This is the holy place. And so Gabriel's just there. And who knows what Gabriel looks like, right? So Gabriel is there, and suddenly Zacharias is startled. In verse 13, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayers are heard. Now, do you think it's by accident that he's burning incense in the temple that represent prayers, and Gabriel says, your prayers are heard? Zacharias might say, well, which ones have been heard? But he's going to tell him, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. This is John the Baptist. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Because these guys are so old, that's why they rejoice. They're older. She's been barren. It's very much like the Old Testament with Sarah. They named Isaac Laughter. That's what Isaac's name means, is laughter, because when everybody heard that Sarah gave birth, they laughed. And so he says to Zacharias, your prayers have been heard, and your wife's going to have a child. And I can just see Zacharias saying, that's an old prayer. That's a prayer I prayed a long time ago. Is there any other prayer I can have answered at this point? And then we learn some things about John the Baptist in verse 15. And the angels know these things that are going on. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is that he took the vow of the Nazarite. The Nazarite vow was a vow of extreme commitment towards God. When you took the Nazarite vow, normal people could take it, you would shave your head bald if you were going to take the vow. You just felt, I don't know if you've ever just felt like, I want to be closer to God. I just feel at a distance from him and I want to be closer. In the Old Testament, you could take a vow of a Nazarite. You would shave your head, and then you would live however long that you took the Nazarite vow for. Then you would shave your head again, and you would bring the hair to the temple, and they would burn your hair on the altar as a sign of the time in your life that you lived for God with everything. Now, John the Baptist is going to be a Nazarite from his birth. He's not the only one. Samson was a Nazarite from his birth as well. You couldn't have two opposite characters, by the way, John the Baptist and Samson, that were Nazarites from their birth. But it's the reason that John was so crazy looking. He wore camel skin, a belt, his hair was long. And in their day, men wore their hair short like today. Somewhere along the line, somebody made a mistake with Jesus. They learned that he was Jesus of Nazareth. And so they thought, well, he must have taken the Nazarite vow. Let's paint him with long hair. And it stuck. But he didn't have long hair. They all had short hair, but you wore your hair long if you were a Nazarite from birth. And so John, in the middle of the wilderness, crazy hair, baptizing people, and everybody coming out to see him. So it says that this is what he's going to do. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. That's God's heart for all of men, that they would turn to him. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. And that becomes a little confusing. Jesus said Elijah is going to come, not John. But then he said, if you can handle it, John is Elijah. And here's how I handle that. I can't handle it. So I don't know. Every time I try to think about it, it makes my mind explode. So I don't know. But he's going to come in the spirit and the power of Elijah. He will turn the hearts of their fathers to the children, the disobedient of the wisdom to the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So he's going to go out in the wilderness. He's going to have this incredible ministry. He doesn't do it in the cities. He does it in the desert. All crowds go out to see him. They are baptized by him, and God's using him. And it goes on to say, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make a people prepared for the Lord. Now Zacharias said to the angel, how shall this be? For I am an old man, and my wife is really old. I paraphrase that a little bit, but that's what it says. It says, I am an old man, and listen to this, and my wife is well advanced in years. You should see her. I'm old, but you should see her. Now, I don't know that I have a problem with if you don't understand what God's doing, but I think that often this is the case. Often God's doing something and we don't understand what he's doing, but he wants to do things in your life that are probably different than what you want him to do, and you don't understand it. Now, Gabriel's response is interesting, because I think it gives us an insight into the angelic world that's pretty amazing. It says, and the angel answered and said, I'm Gabriel. And at this point, you can almost hear his tone. He's not happy. How are these things going to be? I'm Gabriel. That's how they're going to be. I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. Now we learn something about Gabriel. And by the way, there are only two angels in the Bible that we know their name, Gabriel and Michael. Lucifer is not Satan's name. Lucifer is the Latin word for Venus or morning star, and God mocked him in Isaiah and has said, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star. You wanted to exalt your throne, but you fell. He's mocking him by calling him Lucifer, Venus. It's not his name. We only know Gabriel and Michael. He said, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you, to bring you glad tidings, good news. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place. I find it amazing that Gabriel's able to strike him mute. And it makes me think also, maybe we don't want to get angels mad. If angels are able to touch us physically, and he was mute until the day that John was born, that's kind of new information, isn't it? When we think about angels, we don't think about them in that way. Or we don't think that they might get mad enough to go, you don't believe me? You're not talking until that baby's born. Okay. So what we learn most of all from Gabriel is that God listens to prayers. That's the theology of Gabriel into Zacharias. Your prayer is answered, even if it's a long prayer. So Jesus said, pray and don't stop praying. He said, ask and keep asking, knock and keep knocking, seek and keep seeking, ask and you will be answered, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. It's an encouragement that we wouldn't stop praying, but we would continue to pray. Well, now let's move on to the second announcement, and this is to Mary. And it's in verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Now I want to talk about the things he said. But before we do that, I want to consider the way he shows up, all right? So he shows up kind of in a more gentle way to Mary. It's like Zacharias is old, and he's like, I'm going to scare him. I'm just going to be in here. And Zacharias walks in, and the Bible says he was terrified. She's not terrified. She's not scared at all. We'll see she has a concern, but it has nothing to do with the way he shows up. So I think that he was like, I don't want to scare this girl. You know, he's like, I'm going to probably made a little bit of noise. Have you ever just walked up behind your wife and said something? She didn't know you were there. And she was like, why'd you do that? I didn't mean to. I was just walking up and telling you something. I think maybe he made a little noise first, you know, stuff. I'm here, you know, and then he says to her, rejoice, which is a good way to start when you hear a voice from an angel. Rejoice, highly favored one. And she truly is. Can you imagine being chosen to be the mother of the Messiah, the mother of God. And the Bible tells us in the Old Testament that his days are from old, that they are from everlasting, and she is highly favored to be this chosen one. And the Lord is with you. God was with Mary. Blessed are you among women. Does it say blessed above women? Blessed among women. I think sometimes Mary's lifted too high, but I also think sometimes we don't give her the credit that we should. So she hears this greeting, verse 29, but when she saw him, she was troubled. So she wasn't troubled because she was startled by him, but she was troubled at his saying. She's like, what kind of saying is this? Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. So this tells us that there is this, that the conception of Jesus was supernatural in the womb of him. Theologians argue, did he use an egg from Mary and then fertilize that egg in the womb? Did he place Jesus as a, what is it, as an embryo? There's a stage before an embryo. Zygote? Is that right? Yeah? No? Close? Yeah, zygote. Okay, so there's a, did he place him there? Or was it, how else did it happen? We don't really know, but we know it happened in her womb because it says that here. And then it says, and he will be called great. Jesus would be called great and will be the son of the highest. And the Lord God will give him a throne, the throne of his father David. And now we're learning that all these boxes are being checked for the Messiah. He's going to be great. He's going to be the son of God. And he's going to sit on the throne of David. And being called the son of God, by the way, angels not only knew that he was the son of God, but do you know that when Jesus was here on the earth, demons did as well? Jesus got off of the boat in a place called Gadara, and there was a demon-possessed man who would harass the area. The Bible says that he ran around a cemetery, which is already scary, and that he was naked when he ran around the cemetery. That's even more scary. And that they tried to chain him, but he would break the chains. This is the one that eventually will tell Jesus, we are legion, for we are many. That's the account. But when Jesus steps off the boat, the Gadareans, and the disciples are with him, the Bible says the man ran at him. So he saw Jesus on the shore, and this demon-possessed man runs at Jesus. And I think of what the disciples must have thought then. They're looking at Jesus, there's a naked man running right at us. What do you think we should do, you know? And this guy runs to Jesus, falls down, and says, what do I have to do with you, O Son of the Most High? The demon knew who Jesus was, and when he saw him, was able to identify him. Angels know who he is. In verse 33, it says, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And the Old Testament tells us that Jesus, the Messiah, would not only come to this earth to take the iniquity of all mankind. This is foretold in the Old Testament. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, I think it's verse 6. If not, I'm sorry, you can look it up. That God will lay upon him the iniquity of us all. That was the Old Testament before Jesus was ever born, and he was going to come, lay down his life, humble himself, and be born. Now, Mary has a question like Zechariah. Zechariah's question, how can this be? I'm old and you should see my wife. Okay? Mary's question, then Mary said to the angel, how can this be? Since I don't know a man. Now we might want to say, Mary, be careful, be careful. He just made Zechariah mute for 9 months, you know, at least. So be careful. But instead, he's nice to her. Verse 35, and we can understand that, right? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who was born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, so this tells us that John the Baptist and Jesus were related. Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. And here's our angel theology for this angel. For with God, nothing will be impossible. That's an angel telling Mary, with God, nothing will be impossible. The first angel, God, your prayers are heard. The second angel, with God, nothing is impossible. God is looking for us to trust in Him. God is looking for us to persist in prayer. God is looking to do miracles in our lives. And I believe that He will do it as we trust Him and we believe in Him. And all of this is good news. And we see that with the third announcement angel. There's just, it's good news. He's bringing good news to her. And the last one does as well. But look at verse 38. First of all, it says, "And Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." She submitted to God's plan, even though it's going to cause her problems. "Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And before we move on from Mary, let's just talk about the great blessing she had in raising Jesus. She literally raised a perfect child. I know you think your child's perfect, but she literally raised a perfect child. I wonder if James and Joseph and Judas, brothers of Jesus, half-brothers of Jesus, ever said to Mary, "You like Jesus best." And then a sword would pierce her soul, right? Because she would be at the crucifixion of this son that she had raised who had been perfect. So then there's the last announcement angel, and this is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 13, and it's the announcement to shepherds, which is an awesome thing to happen, because you would think that announcements would go to those that are wealthy and those that are rich. But just like today, shepherds usually are hired. Shepherds usually are taking care of someone else's sheep or goats, not their own. And these are shepherds that are out in the hills of Bethlehem. In verse 8 of Luke chapter 2, "Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them." Do you know that before Jesus came to earth, we talked about Him being pre-existent. It says in Micah 5:2, that's the one that says that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, that one will be born, the ruler who will rule my people, not a ruler, the ruler who will rule my people. His days are from everlasting. And that when Jesus became a man, a little lower than the angels, He set His glory aside. One day we will see Him in all of His glory. And whatever picture you have of Jesus, which probably is of long hair, whatever picture you have of Him in your mind, is not going to be what you see. We will see Him in all of His glory, and it will be amazing. And now the glory of the Lord is shining around these shepherds as an angel appears. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid." All three of these angels told them that. Don't be afraid. There was a Savior who came to this world so that you could be saved. Don't be afraid of eternity. You can turn to Him. That's one of the things that the angels teach us, is that we can trust in Christ and don't be afraid.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org. where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.